Thank you for allowing me to be with you again this morning. Thank you, Pastor. You've already worked too hard. Take a nap this afternoon now, all right? Okay. You've only said one thing wrong this morning. You said I was going strong. I'm just going. I heard a preacher many years ago say, enjoy what you're doing now. The day will come when you will look back and you will realize how much you had to enjoy when you can't do it anymore. And the older you get, my experience is, I used to walk through my church and sometimes Saturday night and think, if I live long enough, the day will come when I won't be here anymore. And I'll look back and say, these were good days. I've tried to live that way. When it gets rough sometimes, it's a little hard, but there's a lot of truth to that. My wife would like to be here this morning. She's not been able to travel with me the last year or two. And I haven't had many calls from churches during that time. And I realize now they just wanted to see her. So anyway, God has ways of humbling you, doesn't he? But anyway, I thank you for the opportunity of being here today. I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We're living in uncommon days. What should we as Christians be doing? Well, I think we ought to be doing what we've always should have been doing. And we need to pray for our countries. I drove by Heston this morning and saw all the people out on the golf course. I thought, you know, maybe what happens to our country is somewhat dependent upon what happens in our churches. God answers prayer sometime on the basis of the very few people that are faithful. And so may God help us to have confidence in him and confidence in the fact that when we live for him, God knows that. And he's going to bless that. None of us knows the future. We had no idea a year ago we'd be dealing with all of this. Strange times. I read just recently where a beauty salon had advertised for a happy worker. They had to take down the advertisement because it was discriminating against unhappy people. Whether it was true or not, I don't know, but that's what it said. I wouldn't be surprised. We're living in crazy times. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you on this simple passage that has in it the story of the Good Samaritan. So beginning to read it, verse 25 of chapter 10. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he, that is Jesus, said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man. By the way, notice the word certain there. Luke likes the word certain. It's always a certain man, a certain this, a certain that. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked out on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, and pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now here we have a lawyer, not a civil lawyer, but a religious lawyer. It was a Jewish religious lawyer that was to know the Old Testament law. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, of course, were sticklers on keeping the law as they interpreted it. It was their interpretation that was usually wrong. And you find this in the Gospels over and over. The lawyers were a thorn in the side of Jesus. Are lawyers still thorns today? I don't know. By the way, we need Christian lawyers. When I moved to Newton, I asked a man in my church, do you know a Christian lawyer? And he said, I don't think there is such a thing. We need good judges. I know 2 of the 3 district judges in Newton that work in Newton, and they're very fine people, especially Judge Dickinson. He's a lot of fun. He came to our church when he first came to Newton. I wish he had kept coming, but I think he's a very good man, a very godly man, and a lot of fun. You can kid around with him, and you see him at the grocery store, and he's in jeans like everybody else is. But he knows all the preacher jokes, and I know the lawyer jokes. Would you like a lawyer joke today? A lawyer, honest lawyer, and Santa Claus and a drunk were walking down the path. They spied a $100 bill. Who picked up the $100 bill? The drunk, of course. The other 2 are figments of your imagination. And he would just laugh. But we need a good judicial system. We need to pray for them. And thank God for good judges. So he comes to Jesus. Why did he ask this question? We don't know for sure why he asked the question. I don't know. The lawyers were often sticklers trying to catch Jesus on some little point. This occurs about 6 months before Jesus is crucified, so he's well known by this time. And Jesus is preaching, as we find in Matthew chapter 5, a different kind of righteousness. The scribes and Pharisees and the lawyers were preaching a works righteousness. You do this and you keep the Sabbath and all that kind of thing. And Jesus would say, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. So this was a different righteousness. And perhaps he was testing Jesus to see if he really followed what the Old Testament law said. I guess we can give him that honor. Maybe it wasn't just to argue. Maybe he really wanted to know what you had to do to get to heaven. And by the way, that word do is a key word there, do. And we ought to ask, what must I do to be saved? In Acts 16, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Friends, let's remind ourselves it's not by what we do that gets us to heaven. It's by what God has done when he gave Jesus on the cross for our sin. He paid it all. I used to tell some of my friends at the manor who were in various religious things that I said, now don't forget, Jesus paid for all of your sin. You don't just keep trying to pay for it. Don't put him on the cross again. He paid for all of your sin. So what must I do? Let's be reminded. And let's put ourselves into this story as much as we can. So Jesus said to him, he said, well, sir, you're a student of the law. What do you say it says? And he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and I think another passage. And Jesus said, you're exactly right. Do it and you'll get to heaven. Just do it. Well, folks, no lawyer likes to have somebody else have the last word. Lawyers like to have the last word. He asks a second question. I doubt that he had planned to ask this second question. So, the first law, and Jesus would tell us that all the law hangs on the first two commandments. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbors yourself. Everything else hangs on that. And that's what this is talking about. So to justify himself in verse 29, to justify himself. And Jesus tells this story. Now, notice Jesus does not argue with him. He does not say to him, would you tell us how you love your neighbor? He could have probably lined up people for the next 2 weeks that would come by and tell how good this man had helped them and what he had done for them. And he probably was a good man. He probably had done a lot for his neighbors. Who knows? But instead of that, Jesus gets back to his problem. And his problem is he's trying to be justified and become righteous by things that he does rather than trusting the righteousness that Jesus wants to give to him. So he spouts out this question, and who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus gives this story. This man goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's 15 or 20 miles, they tell us. It's a 3,000-foot decline from in elevation from Jerusalem down to Jericho. You know the story. They robbed him and they left him half dead. He was helpless. And death would have been certain had he not received help. By the way, this is a picture here of sinners. We've been robbed of any righteousness that we have. Sin has done that, and our old nature has done that. It's a picture of people spiritually dying, and we might say dead, and they need to be resurrected. Well, of course, the priest and the Levite represent religious help of one kind or another. The priests were to present the sacrifices, and the Levites were to teach the law. And they both represent any kind of religion. And religion without Christ does not help us. It may hurt us more than it helps us. J. Vernon McGee used to say on the radio that he said, religion has been the curse of the world. In many ways, that's true. You've got all kind of religions in the world, but religion without Christ and without the Bible Christ is more of a curse. And so just being religious does not bring us righteousness. Now, I don't go for the idea that Christians shouldn't be considered religious. I think it's okay. In fact, I think it's good. Say, well, he's very religious. Well, if that means that he's a good Christian, that's a great thing, isn't it? If it simply means that he's adhering to some law or because he's got his name on the church roll somewhere, that he's considered a very religious person. So it's a reminder of that, and a reminder that we need help. This man was going to die unless someone helped him. So it's a picture here of us again. Now, let's look at this Samaritan. The relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans, as you know, was not very good. Now, you talk about prejudice. I mean, it was full-blown. The Samaritans were from the 10 tribes that separated in Israel, and when the Assyrians took over, they intermarried with the Jewish people, and they were kind of a half-breed people. And the real, true-blooded Jewish people rejected them as they did a Gentile. I mean, these are people we don't even associate with. And when they went from Jerusalem, for example, to Galilee, which was 70 to 90 miles, Samaria and the Samaritans was between those two areas, and a good Jew would walk around it. He wouldn't even go through it because he didn't want to be close to Samaritans. And that's why John chapter 4 is such a great chapter, where Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. There's a lady there that needs me. Now, he didn't say that in the beginning, but that's what it was. And the lady on Jacob's well had a wonderful conversion. And she said, you're a Jew. First of all, you speak to a woman, and most Orthodox, really through and through Jews, would in the morning pray, Lord, I thank you that I'm not a woman, and I thank you that I'm not a Samaritan or Gentile. She said, and you're talking to me. Wow. And it gets her attention, and it's a wonderful story. And I might say that there's a lot about prejudice. I think all of us would say, I'm not prejudiced. Well, I think we have to continually search our hearts. A good number of years ago, I visited the Petersons over, and you support them over in Poland. And due to my stupidity, not taking care of my wallet, I got my wallet stolen on the train. It happened that fast. And I was upset, of course, with myself and the missionary and others that I was with. They forgot to keep this U.S. man informed on what he ought to do. And it was a planned deal that I won't go into. But anyway, it happened, and he's gone, a couple of $100. And I let that get to me. And I looked at these Poles. I thought, these Polish people are nothing but a bunch of thieves. And I had to really talk to myself and say, wait a minute, we're trying to bring the gospel to these people. God loves these people. And here I am with a bad attitude. I've got to get over this. So we have to be careful, and we need to pray. And you have here among these Jews, this was really, you might say, very serious prejudice that was on, actually on both sides here. So, as this story breaks forth, then, by the way, this idea of the Good Samaritan, that's caught on around the world. You know, almost every hospital and nursing home and other places that depend upon outside funds have some kind of a Samaritan fund. In World War II, FDR said, I dedicate the attitude of America to that of the Good Samaritan. And you have Good Sam's Clubs and so forth. But let me share with you, I don't think Jesus was telling this just so that we will help our neighbor, though we should help our neighbor. It is a great lesson in helping our neighbor. Actually, if you get to the end of it, you'll realize it's not who our neighbor is, but who can we be a neighbor to? How Jesus turns this around. So, this most unlikely person, the person that was rejected by the Jewish people, this person helped this man who otherwise was going to die. And not only did he help him, he completely took up the cost. He took him to a place. He got him medical help, and he's promised, he said, I will repay every dime it takes to get this man well again. So he went all the way, and it's a picture here, I think, of course, what Christ has done for us. So as Jesus tells this story, he gets to the end, and then Jesus said to him, now, which of these three was neighbor to him? And the man said, well, I guess the man who showed mercy. And notice here, mercy. The Levite and the priest came by and walked on the other side, but when the Samaritan came, the Bible said he had compassion. I think all of us could pray for compassion. That's a good trait to have. Trying to place ourselves sometime in the shoes of someone else. The Bible spoke of Jesus as having compassion. One of the things that marked him off from these scribes and Pharisees and these religious leaders was the fact that he had compassion. And he had compassion upon all. People sometimes do things that are very evil and very wicked. And it's sometimes a little hard to have compassion for those people. People live lifestyles that are completely foreign to Bible living. Do we have any compassion? Can we be a friend to them? I hope we can, because Jesus was. We don't find Jesus ever turning away sinners. The woman taken in adultery was brought to him. And they complained in Luke 15 that Jesus was hanging out with sinners. They wouldn't get close to them. And Jesus would eat with them. And he would doubtless minister to them. We don't become like them, but we need to have a heart that puts its arm around people no matter what they've done. They may be suffering because of their own sin. So be it. That's part of the sin problem. That doesn't mean we don't have compassion. So this one was different. He had compassion, and he did what he could do to help. And so the question that we come to the end again is, he was neighbor to him. Then said Jesus to him, go and do thou likewise. Now, let me just ask this. Do you think Jesus was saying to him, if you just go and practice this, if you go and practice this, you will have eternal life? I don't think so. In fact, I know you don't get to heaven by things that you just practice. You become righteous when you accept Christ as your Savior. Without doing that, our service to Christ, I think, is very lacking. It's just human service. Now, what about this lawyer during this time? Jesus tells this lawyer, he's talking to the lawyer. He's trying to answer the question that the lawyer asked in the first place. I'm going to suggest to you, and the early church fathers were pretty strong on this, I understand, Augustine. Whether or not the light ever came on to this lawyer, we don't know. But Jesus was hated and rejected, much like the Samaritans were. And in this story, let me suggest to you that Jesus is trying to present to this man the fact that he is his good Samaritan. That this one whom the Jews rejected, this Jesus that is speaking to him, is the good Samaritan that loves him, that has compassion on him, that wants him to see the light. He wants this lawyer to see that he's crippled and he's dying. And unless someone helps him, he will die. I wish we had more to this story. Now, it was a story, but it could well have happened, and the parables that Jesus told, some of them were things that had happened, and some were a story meant to tell the truth. I hope that, you'd hope that this, you think, maybe one night when this lawyer is trying to go to sleep, he'll think about, now what was all that about? This Good Samaritan, is that Jesus? Is he trying to tell me that he's the one and the only one that can help me? Yes, that's the message. And he will have to humble himself and come to this Jesus to receive the righteousness that God wants to present to him. And friends, that's a story in many ways that we sometimes all kind of go through. Maybe we've been good, we've been religious, but there comes a time when we realize that we're a sinner and we're lost away from God, and unless we have his forgiveness, we're lost. And we come to Jesus and receive him as our Lord and Savior. And he makes us righteous before God. So I ask this morning, where do you place yourself? Are you like this lawyer? Are you saying, what must I do? Well, my friend, the answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The answer is not in the fact that you do this and you do that, all of which may be good, but you become righteous by accepting the righteousness that Jesus offers. And don't turn him away. Today, Jesus in many circles is kind of counted like the Samaritans were. He's not accepted, not the Jesus of the Bible. So where are you? And can we be a good Samaritan? Can we be the one that brings the gospel to someone else? Yes, we can. Can we be the one that shows compassion? Yes, we can, and we should. There is a lesson there for us. We can't in of ourselves make people Christians, but we can bring them the message that does provide for them the answer to how they too can have eternal life. So where are you in this story? Where am I in this story? I hope that we can see that Jesus is our good Samaritan, and he wants us in many ways to be like him and spread the gospel to other people. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your goodness to us today. We thank you for giving us the gospel. We thank you for a righteousness that you give to us as a free gift. And how we thank you for this wonderful story that you have provided for us to make it clear. Lord, help us to also be a people of compassion, a people of love, a people that are willing to share what we have. And so help us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'll turn it over to the pastor.